Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
For those who don't know, this is the Michigan fight song, correct, Bob?
The victors, Tyler.
Hail to the victors?
Yep. Is that right? Written by a student, Louis Elbel, E-L-B-E-L.
Louis
saw the Wolverines defeat the University of Chicago in a conference, I think it was called the Big Nine, in 1907. And on the train ride back to Ann Arbor, he was inspired to write this song.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And it's stuck since.
Yeah, so now it's been voted the greatest college fight song of them all.
Who's voting on this?
Some band directors.
Was it the Michigan alumni?
I've seen various polls over the years. I'm not saying it is, but certainly in the top five.
Okay, I like it. It's a good one.
All right.
It's not bad. My first college roommate was a big Michigan fan. He'd blast this song once in a while.
And Tyler, do we want to go to a...
Well, we're going to be hearing it in person. Saturday.
Yes, we are.
You wrangled me into it. The Utah Utes coming to town.
The Utes are coming to the Big House at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. And we've purchased our tickets on StubHub.
We did.
We're in that south end zone,
nice
and low.
Long phone conversation, breaking down the stadium. We got our seats. Good seats.
Yeah, nice and low. End zone.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what's going to happen? These guys they do not look good this year.
They look terrible. Maybe it was probably the worst Michigan team I've ever seen. Yeah, against Notre Dame, I watched it
the
with remote
worst you've
hand.
Ever seen.
Close. I was a kid when Bump Elliott had some bad teams in the early 60s.
Why is
Sen
that?
Schembeck,
the Big Ten
Moeller,
stinks.
Carr.
Shouldn't Michigan be running through these teams?
Well, they shouldn't be running through Notre Dame, but, I mean, that's been a 50. They shouldn't be losing 31-0.
Yeah, yeah.
And they hammered they nipped the Redhawks of Miami U, the worst team in the MAC.
Have they had a Big Ten game yet?
No.
They haven't, okay.
No.
So they have Devin Gardner.
Ugh.
You're not a fan.
No?
Well, he looked good early on, didn't he?
I don't know that he's a quarterback, T. They got a good middle backer, Jake Ryan. Utah's got about three or four good prospects, so I'm going to be watching them closely, do a little scouting, T.
Give me your Bud Light hot take on Brady Hoke.
He was their sixth pick.
Their sixth pick?
Yeah, both Harbaughs turned it down. I mean, on and on. I mean, he was their sixth guy. And so what do you expect?
I tell you, it's got to be tough to coach a football team and be the governor of New Jersey at the same time, right? You don't think he looks like Chris Christie?
I guess he does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Yeah, I really know about him.
Not quite that big, but...
Similar.
Yeah, okay.
Well, while we're on fight songs here, and we want to get your input, before we talk anything Packers, I think that this is number one, Bob, and you're gonna hate it. Come on now, Rudy. Rudy, Bob. Rudy. Doesn't get much better than those games.
Oh, so. Yeah, guys.
I don't know. I think this is number one. I tell you what's not number one is my alma mater. Because when I think of this song, all I think is 30-0 drubbing to Penn State, leaving after the first quarter as a student, as a freshman. Yeah, this is not much tradition inside the dome here of late. Not good.
Pretty good song.
Yeah, there's the statue of Ernie Davis. Otto the Orange. What are your thoughts on Otto the Orange?
I don't know much about Otto.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of overly happy mascots. You know, we need some meaner, more violent mascots in the world today, don't we?
Like Sparty.
Yeah, I like Sparty.
He's the best.
Yeah, he comes across with a little. Yeah, there's, you know, we could have the cute and cuddly mascot for the kids, you know, off somewhere. But you got to have some type of mascot with a little blood dripping down his his teeth. I don't know. There's not enough of those.
All right. Sparty's got a good fight song, too. Really good. Underrated.
Really? I don't have it queued up. Maybe you could sing it for us.
And no thanks. It's a good song, though. Underrated. Across the field for the Buckeyes? Not so much.
No.
How can you expect me?
That's true. That's just true.
They go together like oil and water, the Bucks and the Wolverines, you know. What else do you like, T?
Good question. I don't really know. I like the Notre Dame. What about you?
I'm going to USC, that version of the French Marseille, Fight On. I love that song,
okay.
USC.
Okay.
I love the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
The Golden Gophers, what's that?
They got a great song, Sky Emma and all this stuff. I like Go U Northwestern for them Cats down in Evanston.
Ah.
Yep. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we'll be heading down there for the Badgers game that weekend. So looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's face it, On Wisconsin is one terrific fight song.
It is.
It truly is.
It is.
Outstanding. Yep.
Oh, man. Doesn't just bring you back to the college campus, Bob. What was your college experience like?
Come on now, T. We're going to experience that Saturday. We'll reminisce about that, okay?
Can we play a little beer pong in the quad or something? I think we'd make a pretty good beer pong tandem, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Really? Let's see. Do you go for arc, or do you go bounce, or do you go direct shot?
I'll have to get some instructions from my son.
Yeah, give Charlie a call.
Yeah.
I bet he was good. Good basketball player.
Killer.
All right. Well, let's get into Little Packers.
One more quick one. Did your high school have an original fight song?
No. Oh, gosh, no.
What'd you have, Notre Dame?
We had pre-K through 12th grade all in the same building. I mean, you smelled the manure walking into the school building in the morning. We were in the farms, Bob. Western New York. I mean, I loved it. I loved going to Ellicottville and sports and everything, but we didn't have a fight song.
Did you have one?
No, we didn't have an auditorium. We had a cafetorium. The cafeteria and the auditorium were the same thing. So fight song was low on the priority list, I think.
We had an original, and it was a neat song. So
really?
Too bad the school closed after 17 years, which is, let's not get into that. All right, T. So we've been riffing for 7.5 minutes here, right?
Well, if you're still with us, thank you. Thanks for sticking with us, folks. We're going to talk about the Jets game. You know, by the time people listen to this, they're probably ready to move forward. Correct, Bob? They're moving forward. You like that phrase? They're moving forward, and they're stacking their successes elsewhere. So, but we will look back at that game. Bob's going to get into Mike Daniels' performance, which might have been Mike Daniels' best game as a Packer. Right up there. I mean, he just dominated Brian Winters. Kent State, correct? Kent State, the pride of.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into the rookies and how they're contributing so far this year. Clinton Dix, starting to see some more time. Devontae Adams, seeing more time. We'll talk about those guys. Bob's going to break down the Lions starter by starter, as only Mr. Bob McGinn can. And then we'll just we'll see where it flows. What do you say?
All right, let's have at it. We've got 48 hours before we get to the big house, so let's...
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so they're down 21-3. David Bakhtiari tells me in the locker room, you know, what's running through his head? Wow. A little bit of shock. 21-3 at home against the Jets in this hole. The fans are booing. Micah Hyde noted, Devon House noted that it's only the second time he heard the fans booing like that. I guess the last time would have been the Atlanta Falcons game last year when they started really slow.
Oh, okay.
I remember that. But, I mean, it was just, look, after that game in Seattle, things were unraveling pretty quickly here for Green Bay. They don't panic. You know, everybody kind of chips away. Mike Daniels has the big rush. Tremont Williams has the interception. The offense goes 97 yards. Bada bing, bada bang. They beat the New York Jets 31-24. What stood out to you most?
Certainly never thought they were out of anything. I mean, I fully anticipated them to come back. That Jets secondary is awful, and it proved to be awful on paper and in person. So, I mean, They just had to protect a little bit better, and I knew the ball would be going downfield, and they'd make a bunch of big plays, and they did. The defense was a problem early on. So I don't know, the play by Daniels and that 97-yard drive, I based my game story on that thing. Geez, you take over at your own three. It just shows how the NFL game has changed, you know, Tyler? Man, you start opening up against a really good front seven that had already pressured you and sacked you about 7-8 times. And they go 97 yards.
Yeah, they don't just bring in double tight ends and try to run two or three times to get out of it. They look at the clock, see a minute and 40, and go for it. And Rodgers goes to Davante Adams on the first play, mm-hmm. a rookie on a stop route where, I mean, one little mistake and it's pick six, and it might be game over pretty soon or close to it.
Yeah.
So huge drive for Green Bay. They needed it really bad. And it started with Mike Daniels getting that pressure. What kind of game did Mike Daniels have?
Man, you know, he only had two pressures, but they were the knockdown that led to the interception by Tremont Williams that you referred to, and then he had another sack earlier.
Big tackle for loss, right?
Right away, minus six, yeah. You know, so many defensive linemen are moving around nowadays, but Daniels plays that right defensive end or defensive tackle, whatever scheme they're in. So he was against winners all day.
Mm-hmm.
And 47 snaps, and he just repeatedly beat the guy. Now, Winters is 320, and a third-round pick in 2013. He had played a lot better this season in camp in the first game, but he just couldn't handle him.
One of the softer linemen coming out of that draft, right?
I don't think so, Tyler.
Really?
No, I think he played tackle at Kent State, but I think he's got good strength, but he couldn't leverage against Daniels.
Leverage is Mike Daniels' game, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, former wrestler, stays low. I mean, he's one of the shortest defensive linemen in the NFL. He's got to play with that leverage. How did you think he held up against the run?
Well, not well in Seattle. James right. Carpenter just engulfed him, blotted him out. And Daniels was distraught about it. He played poorly.
Hmm.
And then he had 10 days to think about it and came back against... a bit of a smaller man, but still Winters has got 320. He's listed at 320. I don't know that for certain.
So
and he just he kept jerking him, man. Get into him, get separation, jerk the guy, and make the play.
Just real quick, what made me think of that, he had 9 reps on the bench press at the combine. But
Winters?
I think he had an injury or something.
He had to.
That's I thought I recognized the last time I even heard of Brian Winters, but you're right. It was a total mismatch. I thought you put it really well in your grades after the game. The Packers eventually completely exploited the Jets' weaknesses. D. Milner, I mean, I know at one point last year he said he could be one of the best cornerbacks in the game. Boy, he was used and abused by Jordy Nelson, and they really didn't give him a lot of help. They didn't help a guy out. It was almost like watching an offensive tackle kind of hanging on for life without a chip of a running back. They just kind of left him out there on Nelson.
I mean, he's had this ankle injury, a high ankle sprain for a month, and I don't even know why Ryan put him out there. The guy probably is still hurting, but when you're playing with Darren Walls or Darvin Walls, whatever his name is, and Antonio Allen and Kyle Wilson.
Right. What are your options?
You grasp at straws, yeah.
Well, he is a top 10 pick. I mean, he was drafted to be an elite shutdown type of corner. He's in his second year. You would expect him to be somewhat ready for that matchup.
Yeah. So got destroyed.
You know, I just go back to those first couple of years when Aaron Rodgers was starting, and how many of those just those timely third quarter deep play action bombs did you see out of Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers at that point of the game early on in his career as a starter? You know, it's kind of a tight game. He can kind of see maybe a safety cheating up. They're, you know, they've got these iPads now. They can see exactly what a quarterback might be doing, how he's cheating on a certain play. And what do? They bring in two tight ends. It looks like they're going to go with a power rushing type of play in that point of the game. And they go deep to Jordy Nelson on the out and up. It's almost, I mean, that's the kind of deep shot play, as they say, that they're going to have.
And he threw the ball on a line, right? So the safety Pryor couldn't get over. Right. Milner had no chance to recover. And then he made Mr. Pryor miss that tackle.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, but Calvin Pryor and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the two rookie safeties facing off in this game, we wrote all about it leading up to the game. Rex Ryan with some choice words. He took the guy that will, quote, knock your face in. What did you see out of those two guys? I mean, Clinton Dix was beat himself, and he's got to be thanking his lucky stars.
Yeah. I don't know. Pick them, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't say one's better than the other. Can you?
I could. I mean, Pryor had a couple big hits, too, near the line of scrimmage. You can see why they took him, but that was a big missed tackle at that huge. Point of the game. Just a huge, huge missed tackle. Who knows what happens?
He just didn't break down properly. Yeah. You know, he's not that athletic. He runs 4.62, slower than Dix at 4.59. So he was out of it in space there.
Yeah, and I asked Ryan on that conference call how confident he is in Calvin Pryor in space, you know, that kind of scenario. He almost was a little defensive about it. Mm. You know, said everybody thinks the guy can't play in space. He's a complete safety, all around safety. Mm. We've seen him play in space. He's done it. And I guess not on that play, that point of the game. Just huge. Ended up being the game winner. Anything else stand out before we move on? Defensively, what in the heck was going on in the first half?
Geno Smith looked good. There was minimal pass rush. You know, Marty Morningweg's a real creative coordinator, and on his script, those first 15 plays, he had all his good stuff, and it was working.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Then he started running out of stuff. You know, he tried the bubble, and Vic didn't work. But, you know, they don't – Geno Smith's – he was 2-6 on the road last year, and for them to be ahead 21-3, it was too good to be true for the Jets, certainly.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this – I think that Geno Smith is a little smarter than people realize. You know, remember his quarterback's coach, Jake Spavital, who's now at, Texas A&M. He moved on to another school. But he said that Geno Smith brought his iPad into class, and he studied every single one of Aaron Rodgers' 2011 snaps, you know, that MVP season, and really watched how he worked off play action and really admired what Rodgers did with his play fakes and his deception and, you know, just those minute, nuanced elements of the position. You saw that in those first 15 plays. I mean, he had Green Bay fooled. I didn't know where the ball was in that triple option play. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what was going on there. Packers didn't know what was going on. And a lot of it, though, was what Green Bay was doing. And Dom Capers talked a little bit about it this week with the communication coming in with that 4-3 defense. I mean, they were late. They were delayed. There was confusion. There's the play where Tremont Williams is trailing a receiver in motion to the other side of the field when he's supposed to stay in zone on his side of the field. Geno Smith just flips it over to Powell for a big third down conversion. That kind of stuff they're going to have to clean up. It's two games now. You know, the question here is, I think it's a question worth having. Okay, they want to run this 4-3. They didn't fire Dom Capers. They didn't make any wholesale changes with the coaching staff, but they add Julius Peppers. They do that. The big change with this defense in reaction to another playoff defeat was bringing in the 4-3. You know, that's what they want to do, obviously. They've run it a lot, but they didn't practice it in the exhibition season. They rarely practiced it, I guess, you know, behind closed doors in practice. Does that lack of practice, you know, the lack of actually running this stuff in the preseason out of fear that teams will see it, hurt Green Bay? I mean, they just haven't practiced this communication. Just haven't practiced getting a call in, how players work off one another in a game setting.
I don't know. I mean, they practice it for, what, half an hour against air in the Hudson Center?
Yeah, that's day, different right? than going up against an NFL team, you know, in front of 70,000 people.
Right. I don't really know. I mean, they're only using the 4-3. I mean, they're playing a lot of nickel. They're playing a lot of dime. They're playing some 3-4. So what percent of the time has that 4-3 been out there?
Well,
35%?
To start the game, and it doesn't work, so they go to something else, right? Or they have problems, and they try to go into something else.
Yeah.
You're so enthralled, Bob. just beaming
I
over
just
here.
I just want to see more about more from these defenses, you know, before I would say anything definitively. I just don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's just a theory that maybe a little practice wouldn't have hurt. I think it could. They obviously have the personnel to do it. I mean, Julius Peppers, Mike Neal. I thought Neal had a good game against the run. Peppers had the athletic play in coverage when he was playing back, but I think he wrote he led the team in pressures with 3.5. Good game. So they have the pieces to do it. It just might take a little time because this is the first time they've been doing it against live competition, really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the defense. Out of the first two games, is there something promising? Is there something that took you by surprise? A player, something that stands out that you didn't see coming?
I'm looking here. Anything that comes to your mind right off the top, Tyler?
I don't think it was a surprise to you. I mean, you kind of saw this coming, but Corey Linsley, and let's transition this into the rookie class and how they're kind of performing so far. You know, I think we were talking, Linsley looks like a guy who could start multiple years.
I would agree all the way. He played good against Seattle. He's up against Damon Harrison, this Jets 350-pound third-year nose tackle. That guy's really tough. He is hard to move. Plus, he can make plays. He's quick. I mean, Linsley pancaked him several times. Now, Harrison, it wasn't all one-sided. Harrison made a couple plays and got off him, too. But it was a great battle.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine Jeff Saturday against Harrison or even Dietrich Smith, a smaller man? Scott Wells would have struggled with Harrison, not maybe in his prime, but now he would have. And Linsley, you know, Treader is not, well, he's pretty strong too. I would like to have seen Treader against Harrison. This was a real litmus test for center, and Linsley was very impressive.
Was he plainly just beat at all the entire game by this guy?
No, there was no misses. You know, it depends on your defined beat. I mean, after there was a couple plays I can remember seeing that Harrison maybe after a second and a half, shed Linsley and got in on the tackle, but it wasn't in the backfield ever, you know, 2, 3, 4 yards downfield. It was an impressive performance. Now, I guess we need to talk about what happens when Treader comes back, which would be around midseason off his leg injury, right? Was it a leg or a knee? Knee.
Right.
Knee, yeah. Right. Bostic's the leg, yeah. So, you know, injuries oftentimes just take care of these situations where there's two players for one job. I mean, somebody gets hurt. That's the law of the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
But if nobody does get hurt, then you got two guys. They love Treader based off August, and I think they really like Linsley.
So Treader, I mean, he can give you depth at multiple spots, though, too.
Yeah.
You know, and they need that. Real quick, how did Derek Sherrod play?
Better late than early. So-so.
Basically, kind of survival mode at that spot until Brian Bulaga is ready.
I think
get
so.
Get by.
Yeah. You know, Ford Field's going to be a tough matchup. We'll get into the Lions later, but I'll just mention this right now. They got a guy coming off the bench who plays left end and sub, George Johnson.
Hmm.
Whew. What a whirling dervish he is, man. He's not that big. He's just all energy. You just watch his bull rush. He will be attacking Sherrod or Bulaga with his arms, and he will get pushback. Plus, he's quick. He can go up around the corner. The Vikings had him. They cut him. George Johnson looks like a player.
Boy, when you get that crowd noise behind you, we saw it on Thanksgiving Day there. I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers wasn't on the field, but they had their starting offensive line out there. Probably David Bakhtiari's roughest day as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Sitton, the one who, you know, called the Lions a bunch of dirtbags, actually played okay. But other than that, I mean, it was Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, Ziggy Ansah kind of teeing off on Green Bay. So definitely has to be an area to watch with Derek Sherrod in that environment. Okay, back to the rookies. We saw a lot of Davante Adams. Out there.
You wrote a story on him a couple days ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he had 6 targeted balls. What'd you think of Devontae? Where's he at?
Well, it's interesting that Green Bay used him in pressured situations. It wasn't like, you know, they just threw him out there when they're up by a couple touchdowns or down by a couple touchdowns. I mean, they needed him in this game at critical moments. We mentioned the play when they're backed up at their own 3-yard line at the end of that drive on a big third down. He runs a little slant, beats the cornerback for 24 yards. You know, Jared Boykin you gotta give it up to Jared Boykin. Here's a undrafted rookie out of Virginia Tech, kind of banished by the Jacksonville Jaguars, runs that bad 40 at the combine, did a lot of good things last year, and he learned the offense quickly and has worked really hard to get to this point to be a starting wide receiver. But what's his ceiling? What are his limitations? When you look at Davante Adams out there in terms of physicality, athleticism. I mean, this is a guy with a 39.5-inch vertical leap. You watch him at Fresno State. I mean, the guy was just I mean, he was like a human highlight reel. He's a playmaker, and playmakers drive the NFL. You have to be able to make plays beyond 6-7 yards, turn the right way, make a catch, 2nd and 4. Davante Adams looked like that player, and you have to expect Green Bay to use him a lot more in this offense.
Pretty promising here this last game, no doubt. This summer, it was just kind of a learning experience for him. Can't say he really impressed, but he didn't unimpress either. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a plus for him.
You know, remember Derek Carr and his coaches at Fresno State, they said that he did some complex things in their offense. You know, they spread it out, and they asked their receivers to do a lot playing that up-tempo game. But one thing that Adams said he didn't do at Fresno State that much that he had to do here is really changing his routes. I mean, you get up to the play, just, you know, knowing that you're going to have to change it up on the fly. At Fresno State, he said, yeah, they had 3, 4, 5 receivers split out, but everything was pretty much locked in, and that was his big adjustment. We'll see how he does with that, how he handles that. Rodgers did show some trust in him, and it's impressive because they haven't really played together in a game setting much at all before that game. I mean, 9 snaps in Seattle, didn't really look his way. In the exhibition games, boy, I think there's that 2-point conversion that Rodgers threw to him. That was it. Didn't play with him at all. So it was just all practice snaps, really. All right, another rookie, we mentioned Clinton Dix. You know, in the Seattle game, he had his ups and downs, but was around the ball, and safeties very rarely were around the ball last year. Are we going to see some more of Clinton Dix as the season moves along, Bob?
I would think. We don't know about Hyde's injury, right?
Well, I talked to him yesterday. He says he's fine. He's going to play, and he's just icing it. So we'll see.
Burnett's played every snap the first 2 games. They believe they need him to call the defense, so he's going to be on that field. And Clinton Dix's going to play a lot. He's been okay.
Mm-hmm. What are his limitations right now?
Just don't know right now. You know, speed, I mean, Eric Decker got matched up on him one time when Geno Smith scrambled and the ball was in the air 50 yards and Clinton Dix was beat on the thing. The ball was just barely overthrown. Mm. Teams are going to try to match up on that 4.59. You know, Burnett ran 4.53. I mean, he doesn't play with a great deal of quickness, but Burnett does have some deep speed to avoid some of those matchups. We'll have to see if that's a factor on how far Clinton Dix can go.
Should bring some physicality inside the box, something they did not have in M.D. Jennings really much at all. Is that the immediate help out of that position, out of Clinton
M.D. Dix? Was a good football player. Jeez, do you believe that? They hung with that guy for
2 years as
two
the starter.
Seasons.
2 years, yeah. Jaron McMillan could hit, and he'll tell you he'll take your face off, but couldn't really wrap up. Clinton Dix had his missed tackles, but he looks like a guy who can tackle, who can hit, and isn't afraid to help and run support.
M.D.'s on the street. He could not make the Bears.
Couldn't make it.
That vaunted Bears safety core. He couldn't make the club.
Okay, all right. The rest of the rookie class, Kyrie Thornton, obviously isn't going to help them this season. Richard Rodgers, you know, that tight end position really hasn't given the Packers much through 2 games. It's early, yeah, but they missed JerMichael Finley. They missed that athletic target down the middle of the field. Didn't have that against the Jets. You know, Randall Cobb is your slot receiver. He's not going to run a deep seam and make a play on a safety with the ball in flight. Maybe Brandon Bostic is that player.
That's got to be their hope, huh? Corliss has been certainly as effective as Richard Rodgers. Ryan Taylor hasn't played yet, and so now it's Bostic. Played 9 snaps on special teams last week, coming back from the fibula injury, and I assume he's going to play this week.
What's
that vertical stretch, huh?
Well, what can Richard Rodgers give you in the passing game? Remember Matt Flynn saying he's smart with his routes. He kind of knows how to work the top of the round and anticipate. But he also ran that 4.87. He's not a fast guy. What's he going to give them in the passing game this year? A guy who was a slot receiver at Cal. I mean, that was a big reason they drafted him.
He's got good hands, right?
He does.
His blocking's been marginal. The speed against starting defenses and the ability to separate and get open, Haven't really seen much of that so far. He's been in the backfield quite a bit, pass proing last week. I don't know where he's going. He's a third-round pick.
Mm-hmm. You know, in his defense, the opportunities haven't been there. It's not like they've really gone to the tight ends much so far. But we'll see.
Yeah. So Bostic, you know, would probably be the guy back. All right, Tyler, after that, they took Carl Bradford. What's Carl's going to do this year?
Well, I guess it's he's learning a new position right now in practice. He's playing inside linebacker, and they'll see if he can help them at that spot down the road. Probably not going to offer much right now. Jamari Lattimore got his opportunity finally. He did start a few games last year, obviously, but he got his opportunity against the Jets. Seven tackles. Did he play well enough to hold on to that spot, you think? Or when Brad Jones is healthy, is it just kind of picking up where he left off?
We just don't know about Brad Jones and his quad. Yeah. He missed practice Wednesday. He was hurt in the Seattle game. He played hurt. And he sits out last week with his quad. I don't know how long this is going to linger. Obviously, it was a problem with him in the Seattle game. He played one of the worst games of his career. I don't know. I mean,
maybe they just ease him back pretty slowly along here.
Yeah,
and there's really no need to rush him back and really get a long look at Lattimore.
Yep. A.J. Hawk replaced Jones as the dime linebacker, so he played every snap this week. It's not a position of strength.
And we got a couple more rookies there before we move on. Jared Aberderis out for the season.
Dimitri Goodson, concussion, sixth corner, he's not playing. And Jeff Janis, inactive, huh?
Right. So they really have, when you look at that class, Bradford, Goodson, Janis, these are all players who are projects who probably aren't going to help this team anytime soon. And there's other guys at their position who they kind of kept on the practice squad. I mean, when you think of Miles White, Kevin Dorsey, Jamal Roll, those are guys who can probably help this team in a pinch on the game field sooner than the ones who are actually on the active roster.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. Yep.
But the injuries the injury apocalypse hasn't set in quite yet this year. Hang on, it probably will at some point. So we'll see if they bring up one of those guys down the road. All right, let's move on to your favorite part of the segment. We got to come up with a catchy lead-in, maybe a little jingle, something. When Bob McGinn breaks down that roster, he's got it in front of him. He's doing jumping jacks, doing squat thrusts, bench pressing, running the three cone drill. Can't wait to get into it. Let's get into it, Bob. The 2014 Detroit Lions depth chart. You did your excellent scouting report in the paper already. Wide receiver, what do you see?
They're 1-point favorites, the Lions, huh?
They are.
That was a surprise. Boy, they didn't look very good against Carolina, you know. They played well against the bad New York Giants. So, 1-point favorite. Wide receiver, we know about Calvin Johnson, certainly. And then you got Golden Tate, who's probably there. Is he better than Nate Burleson, even when Nate was going good? About the horse apiece.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the three, that they struggle after that. Jeremy Ross, the ex-Packers, the three, he's just a guy.
A guy, kind of torched Green Bay at Thanksgiving last year.
He's a gadget guy, a thick little running back type guy, you know.
Is he a jag? You calling him a jag?
Not as a return guy. We'll get to him later. He's a pretty darn good returner. But as a receiver, yeah, jag him. He beat out,
for those who forgot, just a guy, jag.
He beat out Kevin Ogletree and Ryan Broyles for this spot, so he's got to be doing something. Tight end, they're very good. Brandon Pettigrew's a really good blocker. Joseph Fourier's that 6'7.5" red zone guy, and Eric Ebron. First-round pick, Tyler, you talked about him today. You mentioned him in your story with Shields. He's not there yet, you know. I think when the Packers see him the second time around, he should be a much better player. It's kind of like Devontae Adams, you know, a junior feeling his way, has all the ability in the world, but he's just not there.
So you don't think he does much damage Sunday?
He hasn't so far, but he's liable to have a breakout because he's got these hands and speed and skill and all this.
Okay.
The O-line. Same four starters, left tackle, left guard, center, and right guard. They're okay. The right tackle's the problem. We'll have to see what happens. Adrian Waddle is a big guy with long arms, but he's coming off a calf injury. He hasn't played since the first series of the first game. Don't know if he's going to play. And you got Garrett Reynolds, who's really the weak link. Our former colleague, Daryl Ledbetter, who now covers the Falcons. Daryl likes to say that Garrett Reynolds was given the Falcons' right guard job in 2011, 12, and 13 and could not hold the job either year. Started 23 total games, could not hold a job. Mm. You watch this guy having to play tackle. He's a waistbender. He is physical. He tries hard, but he lacks strength, lateral slide. Packers can get after him if he's out there. That's a real problem for Matt Stafford. All right, Matthew Stafford's on a new offense. It's Joe Lombardi. It comes from the Saints. It's kind of a bunch stuff with the Saints. It's a big screen game. They've changed a lot. He's under center more than he used to be. So does he still make dumb things? Absolutely. You could see it in preseason games.
I thought he got away from that whole sidearm delivery, but
he forces.
You saw that in Carolina.
Yeah, and I saw it in that third exhibition game that I saw it too. Man, he just forces the ball.
Straight out of Napoleon Dynamite. You ever seen Napoleon Dynamite, Bob?
No.
With Uncle Rico?
No.
He's just kind of like this old guy who dreams of playing in states in 82, and he sets up a camera in the wilderness in the field, and he has this sidearm. This funky side. In Detroit, that's the criticism for Matthew Stafford. They bring up Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Okay.
It's the worst and the best 2 hours you'll spend your life watching that movie. It's awful and magnificent at the same time.
Are you watching The Roosevelts on PBS?
I'm not a big PBS guy.
It's a heck of a series. Is it really? Yep. Eight parts.
The Roosevelts.
Yeah. Teddy, FDR, the gang, Eleanor. Quite the series.
No, thanks.
All right, the running backs. You got Reggie Bush and Joik Bell splitting time. Joik Bell is a fumbler. He's having problems holding on. Reggie Bush is still good. I think he had an 86-yard touchdown against Jacksonville that night. I think it was 86.
In August.
Yeah. It was unreal. The guy still got his speed.
He hasn't really done much in two games, but...
No, he's splitting time. I really don't know why.
Boy, in the Packers locker room, though, pretty much unprompted. Players keep bringing up Reggie Bush's name, Joik Bell's name. They have their respect. Now, does that mean that you drop a safety down into the box when you got Calvin Johnson out there? I don't know.
It's a tough matchup if A.J. Hawk is involved with Reggie Bush.
Remember the little wheel route or whatever they ran up on Hawk on the left sideline in that game, mm-hmm. Right? They're going to look to...
I remember it in front of the Lions bench, right?
Right.
They have a fullback. They haven't had one in about 3-4 years. They got Jed Collins, the former Saint that Joe Lombardi knows, and he's a good blocker. So that's the Lion O. They got a problem at right tackle. They're explosive. They're pretty darn good, right?
I'm telling you, Jeremy Ross is going to get up for this game. Don't believe what he says. After that Thanksgiving game, he brushed off the revenge factor as nothing. Boy, he was a different guy that
day. Yeah, he was.
Defense, what do you see?
Well, it's all about the front four. They have to get to the passer because their secondary stinks, just like the Jets. They got the same problem. It's very similar. More speed with this front, though. The Jets were power. This is speed. Nick Farrelly's lost some weight. He's going to play over the left guard. Isn't that something? Langan Sitton, after they changed 2 years ago, I still get it screwed up. He's going to be trying to penetrate against Sitton and Lindsley. The guy lived in the backfield here last week against Carolina. He is power and he is quick. He just penetrates, man. He had a heck of a game.
But is he a dirtbag?
We'll have to ask Josh.
Okay.
Josh is not talking that stuff anymore, is he?
No.
No? All right.
You know what, though? I mean... They kind of are. I mean, it's, the Jim Schwartz kind of did instill a certain mindset and attitude with that defensive front. So, I mean, Sitton was kind of killed for telling his mind. And to his credit, after the game, it's not like he took anything back.
No, absolutely. No, he did not.
All right. Well, Ndamukong Suh, we'll transition into him.
Sue's the exact same guy. We all know Sue, so he is what he is. Ziggy Ansah. He gets down in that 4-point stance and, he can do a lot of good things. He's really good against the run. He's a heck of a young player. What a force, So that's three outstanding guys. All right. They lost the small ends. Cliff Averill departed 2 years ago and Willie Young departed this past offseason. So it's Jason Jones, a former Titan and a Seahawk. Jason really doesn't have the speed and quickness to play end in a 4-3. But on passing downs, they move him inside over a guard. He's a real threat. Huge, long arms. Eastern Michigan player. Not a whole lot of Hurons in the NFL. TJ, he'll be against TJ Lang, another ex-Huron.
There you go.
And they're not Eagles, they're the Hurons. They changed that nickname 20 years ago, T.
What is a Huron?
It's an Indian tribe and a river over there.
Oh, okay. I thought it was pronounced Hurons.
Oh, no.
Hurons?
Indian
Hurons?
Tribe.
Okay.
Ann Arbor, one of their public high schools, the Ann Arbor Huron River Rats. The River Rats coming out of that Huron River.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. It's my fantasy football name.
All right, and we discussed George Johnson, who comes in at left end on passing downs, and he's a bit of a tear. They got a good rush. They have other really good backups. C.J. Mosley is a really good DT. Devin Taylor is a 6'7 DE who's pretty darn good. Linebackers, two good ones. Milwaukee's own DeAndre Levy, very good player. Steven Tulloch in the middle, very good player. Tahir Whitehead, not a very good player. That's their linebackers. The secondary, it's a mess. You got one outstanding player, Glover Quinn at free safety. It's complete. Boy, beyond that, the safeties, Darius Slay, a second-round pick in 2013. He's playing with a lot more confidence. I mean, he was really pretty bad last year. He's a number one right now.
Wow. Correct me if I'm wrong. So Mississippi State, right?
Yeah.
Was he the player in college who really took all kinds of chances? I mean, he had a lot of turnovers, but he was beat on a lot of deep balls in that SEC conference. I think so.
Yeah.
It was him and another guy there. But I remember when they made the pick, it was they needed DB help, but it was kind of a gamble.
10 on the test, rep guy. It's a problem. But he has improved. It's obvious. Rasheen Mathis, 34, once was a really good player for Jacksonville 5, 6, 7 years ago. Just kind of hanging on now. Just hanging on. I mean, they used to play with Drayton Florence. They've struggled at corner for well over a decade.
Yeah.
They just cannot solve it. And now they got a pretty good nickelback, and Bill Bentley blows his knee the first half of the first game. They go to Nevin Lawson, a fourth-round pick. Ooh, that was questionable. And he suffers toe injury, has surgery, emergency toe surgery that night in Carolina. Now they're down to their third nickel. It's going to be an ex-Colt, Cassius Vaughn. He has played in the league, but, I mean, he lacks speed. They might try kind of a combination corner safety, Don Carey. Again, how are they going to handle Randall Cobb? He could have a field day. He should have a field day against this thing. The other safety, James Ahedebo, former Super Bowl starter with New England, started last year all 16 games for the Ravens. He's there. He's coming off a stinger and a shoulder injury, may not play. And Issa Abdul Kudus, kind of just a guy with decent speed.
And that's a great name.
That's their D.
My name, my firstborn, Issa.
Special teams, they don't even have a kicker. Nate Freeze has been awful. They kept him over Giorgio Tavecchio.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
We know Giorgio is good, right?
Yeah. They don't get much better than Giorgio Tavecchio inside that locker room.
This guy misses one more. Now they tried out three veterans Tuesday, including Rob Bronis, who started his career with the Packers, by the way.
Oh.
Yes, he did. Beaten out by Ryan Longwell.
Is that right?
Yeah, as a rookie free agent back in like 02. He's on the street. So, Freeze, this is his last chance. Tremendous amount of pressure. Man. Sam Martin is a good punter kickoff guy. Jeremy Ross does all the returning. He looked outstanding against Carolina, except for one thing. He lost a fumble. It was bad on a kickoff.
Got him fired in Green Bay.
It was a bad strip, Tyler.
Hmm.
So that's their club.
Hell of a rundown.
What do you think they are? What's their final record? What do they look like?
8-8.
That's what it looks like, doesn't it?
Just 7-9 last year. Kind of Lions season. You know, they'll probably have a stretch where they win 4 in a row, 5 in a row, and a stretch where they lose 3 in a row, 4 in a row.
Could they win the division?
They could win the division, right? I mean,
I think they could.
They could. You know, Chicago's defense, still suspect when E.J. Manuel's picking you apart. Big win for them in San Francisco. We don't know anything in the NFC North yet. We really don't.
No, we don't.
Everybody's 1-1. We don't know if Adrian Peterson's going to play, not play. The NFL, That's a whole other story. My God. I mean, do you have anything to say on that, Bob?
Nothing. Other than the Lions, let me go back to the Lions. They've got to win this game because they know they can't win at Lambeau. They haven't done so since 91. They've got to have this.
They do. You know, and Green Bay is 10-2 against the Lions since Aaron Rodgers took over the starter. He didn't play in one of the games, and he played a half in another game after suffering the concussion.
10-2, that's right, yep.
So they've kind of owned the Lions on the road and at home.
McCarthy's 14-2 against him. He was 4-0 with Favre.
Yeah, so they have their number. All right, so against the Jets, if they exploited the mismatch of Brian Winters, they exploited the mismatch of Jordy Nelson on D. Milner. Mismatches this week, nickel cornerback is a mess for the Lions. You have to think they look for Randall Cobb early, often. Take advantage of that.
Yep, and the other side of the ball, you got Lions' right tackle is a mess. If Bulaga doesn't play, you know the Lions are going to try to exploit right tackle, and the Lions have a hole at kicker. Hmm. God, Jason Hansen was just automatic for 21 years, and now this.
21 years?
That's yeah.
Unbelievable.
And then David Akers, who was over the hill, and now this guy. Hmm.
All right, so, I mean, every year, like clockwork, you know, we talked to Joe Witt and Dom Capers about Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. How are you going to defend Calvin Johnson?
Yeah.
I imagine they're probably sick of our questions by now with that every week. So I don't know. I caught up with Sam Shields a little bit in the locker room to talk about this. It really does sound like it's going to be Shields again on Calvin Johnson. But as Micah Hyde kind of said, you got to give him help. You have to give whoever's on Calvin Johnson help. You're almost dumb not to. Probably tilt the safety or, you know, be aware of Calvin Johnson at all times with somebody else. But at the end of the day, it's going to be your four-year, $39 million man, Sam Shields. This is why you gave him that contract.
Yeah.
You know, some people criticize Green Bay for that deal in March. But Sam Shields, an ascending talent, one of the fastest players in the league. You look at that interception he had against Dallas. I mean, that play alone probably got him a few million dollars, but what also helped him get that deal, the Packers were embarrassed, absolutely pants there in Detroit, 40-10, felt more like 90-10, but Shields held his own against Calvin Johnson. He had a pretty good game against him. Do you think that kind of performance and what they saw out of him against Calvin Johnson, you know, probably helped him in the negotiating room a little bit?
No question, Tyler. You're right about the Dallas, and you're right about this Detroit game, yep.
So, yeah, I mean, Devon Hollis is a physical corner. You know, Dom Capers could always surprise everybody and throw him on Calvin Johnson for a few snaps. But Shields has to be the antidote for Megatron. And he has, you know, Tremont Williams had his moments against Calvin Johnson in the past, but 31 years old. They like doing some things with him inside. Mm-hmm. Probably don't see that situation. You really studied that tape last year, Shields on Calvin Johnson. Why is he a good matchup for Calvin?
Because he's kind of fearless and he's pretty quick. And he's got decent size, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin, they really knew with Scott Linehan as coordinator for 3 or 4 years in Detroit, they kind of knew where Calvin was going to be, although they did start moving him later in his last couple of years. But this Lombardi thing, he's going to be different spots now. It's mm-hmm. going to be harder just to match on the guy, I think. He's going to be in bunches. A little tougher deal. I don't know that the Packers can get into these one-on-one fronting deals with a safety over the top quite as easily.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different offense. It's that Drew Brees stuff, you know, where Colston plays all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's stuff like that. Now, they're, you know, in the infancy stages of it as well. But that's where they're at.
If it is Shields on him, you have to expect to respect the deep ball. You remember a few slants that Johnson got on him in Detroit. Didn't give up the deep ball, and he just said that you have to get him on the ground. You have to tackle him. You can't let him get ahead of steam.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of number one. And Calvin Johnson brought it up himself, the ball skills. And Shields is a wide receiver playing the position, when the ball's in the air. So they're going to probably need a turnover or two in this game because Stafford's going to tee a few up for you. Any other matchup, you know, before we take some questions, any other matchup that you want to hit on real quick?
You discussed Bakhtiari and Ansa. That's huge. Jordy Nelson against whoever they put out there at corner, Mathis and Slay. Mathis plays the right side. Mathis knows what he's doing, but he doesn't make plays on the ball. You could see that in the Carolina game. Jordy could do a lot of business over there. I guess that's about it.
All right. Well, we'll take a few questions here. Got to say, listeners didn't bring their A game. We only got 3 or 4 questions on Twitter.
Wow.
So okay. they're not hitting their targets, Bob.
Dropping the ball.
They're not hitting the targets.
No. Okay.
Okay. So Handsome Pete.
We may not have hit the target with our opening day riff here, huh?
We didn't hit the targets. No.
Oh, all right.
We did not. We'll have to come back and stack some successes later. Handsome Pete asks, was Bob crying in the press box because his guy, your guy, Brandon Bostic, did not get a single offensive snap? And Handsome Pete asks us, with the Twitter avatar of Krusty the Clown from Simpsons playing the playing some type of instrument there.
Well, Brandon...
accordion.
Brandon is their best tight end. And Brandon was not thrilled when I reported something about his leg here a couple weeks ago. He referred to me as Dr. McGinn, but we've laughed that off since.
Did you talk to him about that?
Yeah, he was... I don't know, he was just screwing around. People thought he was upset. He wasn't upset at all. He knew his injury.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, what it was.
I just say this. I mean, everybody, it seems like Twitter has just, everybody expects that to be this huge ordeal. If there's a Twitter controversy, oh my God, it's the end of the world. And for the love of God, people, communicate face to face. Okay. So, Dr. McGinn, did you cry in the press box?
No, I didn't. No. No, I noticed him on special teams, and that was enough for week one on his return.
Okay.
You know, we don't want to push it too early with Double B. The doctor was looking out for his welfare. What else you got, T?
Mark Thompson, he asks, we seem to have returned to our traditional 3-yard gain running game this year. Is it a problem with Lacey or his blocking? Now, Eddie Lacey did talk a little bit about this, and said that teams are playing the run, that the Jets stayed, and they did stay in their base personnel much of that game. They had to exploit the matchups out wide with the receivers. He said, hey, you got to be patient, and you have to keep grinding it out, because if you don't, there's somebody there to replace you. I don't know. Are you that concerned that Eddie Lacy is averaging 3.1 yards per rush right now? The rookie of the year is really doing nothing right.
The only concern I have is getting through that Ann Arbor traffic on Saturday. That's... Seriously. They haven't run the ball. They've faced 2 outstanding fronts. They've only had like 6 bad runs.
Well,
they're not getting hit in the backfield. There's not that much penetration. Now, they might be happy to average 3 yards if Nick Fairley starts getting in that backfield, because those are going to be a lot of bad runs if that happens.
Sam Gash was, the running backs coach was really quick to say after that Seattle game that he was thrilled with Eddie Lacy's game. He thought he had a great game. Considering the amount of contact he was taking, you know, right after he got the ball. So
okay. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. I'm not ready to kind of make a sweeping conclusion there yet. All right. Hey, how about this? Chris Duckett.
I'll ask you this one, T.
Well, first, Chris here, a few years ago, hooked me up with Black Keys tickets. So he's a good man. I did pay him face value, I think. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. But yes.
You handle this question from your buddy then, okay?
All right, he's a good man. A friend of Kyle Cousineau is a friend of all.
That's right. Could you see a scenario where Sean Richardson played middle linebacker in the dime? Is it worth exploring?
That's an interesting theory. I don't know. I haven't even thought about that. They haven't really found a way to get Sean Richardson on the field. They want to play Clinton Dix. I don't know. Right now, isn't Richardson just a... solid special teams player? I mean, do you see any way to get him on the field?
That would mean removing AJ. We cannot remove AJ.
How did Hawk do as the dime linebacker?
I think it was in the dime when he had his bad play, when he let Bilal Powell go and they flipped it over his head for 20 yards. I think that was the dime.
Okay. All right. Well, probably not then. I don't know. Yeah. If they want to get funky, maybe they do something like that. All right, and last one here. It's not really a question, but Andrew Hetzel asked, the Packers need a pass-catching tight end in the worst way. Tell me that Bostic's ready to go. Tell him, Bob.
I don't know that. The doctor did not make a house call on that, so I don't know. What do you think, T? You saw him yesterday.
You're the doctor.
You saw him yesterday live.
I mean, it seems like he's getting closer, and they need him, so... We'll okay. see.
All right.
All right. Let's play a little Michigan. What do you say?
Or do you want to go to Syracuse, the Q's?
Nah.
All right, crank it up.
Thanks, everybody.
M go blue.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.